We're reading from the introduction to the book of Zohar, page 114, Kabbalah for the student, item 10. You can watch our lesson at kab.tv and also ask questions. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. Kabbalah for the student, page 114, introduction to the book of Zohar, item 10. Now we can begin to understand the fourth inquiry. How is it possible that the chariot of impurity and klipot would emerge from His Holiness, since it is at the other end of His Holiness? And also, how can it be that He supports and sustains it? Indeed, first we must understand the meaning of the existence of impurity and klipot. Know that this great will to receive, which we determined was the very essence of the souls by creation, for which they are fit to receive the entire filling in the thought of creation, does not stay in that form within the souls. If it had, they would have to remain eternally separated from Him, because the disparity of form in them would separate them from Him. And in order to mend that separation, which lays on the kli of the souls, He created all the worlds and separated them into two systems. As in the verse, God has made them one against the other, which are the four pure worlds, Abiyah, and opposite them, the four impure worlds, Abiyah. And He imprinted the desire to bestow in the system of the pure Abiyah, removed the will to receive from themselves, from them, and placed it in the system of the impure worlds, Abiyah. Because of that, they have become separated from the Creator and from all the worlds of holiness. For that reason, the klipot are called dead, as in the verse, sacrifices of the dead, and the wicked that follow them, as our sages said, the wicked in their lives are called dead, since the will to receive imprinted in them, in oppositeness of form to His Holiness, separates them from the life of lives, and they are remote from Him from one end to the other. It is so because He has no interest in reception, only in bestowal, whereas the klipot want nothing of bestowal, but only to receive for themselves, for their own delight. And there is no greater oppositeness than that. And you already know that spiritual remoteness begins with some disparity of form and ends in oppositeness of form, which is the farthest possible distance in the last degree.
In our world, plus and minus are drawn to each other, right? Like in a magnet, plus and minus are north and south of it, the poles in the magnet. They're drawn to each other. And also people that have some kind of opposites in their opinions, it's interesting for them to start integrating with one another. That's because our entire world is in one nature of receiving. And that's why each and every one can receive something from the other to the extent that the other is opposite than him. And if he's not opposite, so what do I have to receive from him? If he's not different from me, then I'm like him. So I'm like him. What? I have, I'm fulfilled. I'm satisfied. I don't see how I can get something from somebody. What do I need somebody from? To get something from him, because I'm a desire to receive the money, respect, admire his somebody's services. Whatever I don't have, then I'm interested in him, in filling what I'm lacking. And that's why in our world, we don't see that example or that story, what he's writing about here, that if it's plus and minus, creator and creation, so they are distant and they can't get close to each other. Because in our world, you can, the opposite things. Is that clear? That, just don't get confused with that. Because in our world, we understand that we can gain something from one another if, because we're both in the desire to receive. But if it's a desire to receive and the desire to bestow, they can't get near each other. On the contrary, they are disconnected from each other. And that's why there is no chance without changing our nature of the creature, of the creation, for him to get close to the creator. What does it mean, changing the nature? The nature itself, the desire to receive, you can change. But the creator organized the things not according to the desire, but according to the intention. That on the intention, I can work and change it. And then we can decide the distance between us according to our kavanah, our intention. Because the intention changes the essence of our connection. The intention changes the equivalence or lack of equivalence between us. The creator is the desire to bestow. If upon my desire to bestow, I add the kavanah, the intention in order to bestow, then my desire is just material. And the quality of my action, the essence, becomes bestow. And then, and according to that, I'm already getting closer to the creator. You can say, wait. Why are they getting closer than the creator and creation if they're similar? If they have a plus, so they should be wanting to be distant from each other, right? That's how it is in physics. Anybody study this in school? You forgot about this already. So if it's a plus, they reject each other, minus and minus two. Only plus and minus get close. So what law of equivalence of form is working here? If I'm similar to the creator that I'm getting close to, that's the opposite of what's happening in us, right or not? So how can we interpret this? Like you just said, it's in two egoists that want to earn from each other. So they get close. So they're both egoists. The creator's an egoist. He wants to bring the creator closer. And the creature is an egoist, wants to get closer. In our world, if two egoists get close to each other, one is plus, the other is minus, they get close. Two egoists. And if it's plus and plus, they're not egoists. Oh, so egoists. So why aren't they getting close? I don't know. You don't know? That's okay. It's not a sin not to know. Doctor, you know physics? Please.
Plus and plus are also egoistic. They have nothing to profit. They compete each other. I wanted to ask.
No, you answer, because I don't understand. Why do plus and plus reject each other?
This is exactly my question.
If they're both egoists.
I wanted to ask, why with us, where everyone has the point in their heart, we are supposed to be in equivalence of form and connected, we reject each other.
Good, he's saying it right. Especially we reject each other and distance each other because of the points in the heart, because they're supposed to actually bring us closer, right?
Yeah, the equivalence of form.
Yeah, what do you think? Maybe he knows.
About the plus and plus. If I have a quality that also a friend of mine has, which is bad, I don't like it. I stay away from him. This is why the plus and plus, I don't get closer to him.
I see people with similar qualities also get close sometimes.
The question is if it's a good quality or a bad. If it's a bad quality, I prefer not to.
So it's according to the qualities or the way they use the qualities. Let's say two thieves. So they connect. There are things that are... It's not simple at all. Yes, Maul.
Perhaps because the spark, my spark, suppose, is naturally connected to my will to receive, but it is rejected from someone else's will to receive.
The sparks aren't similar, and hence they each reject each other's spark.
Yeah, because this spark is connected to that desire, and the other spark is connected to the other desire. And
okay,
this is,
let's say, yes.
I want to ask from my own private world, of course. This is the world I know.
Yeah, you can see a normal egoist.
Yeah, fat, normal.
Yes.
So once in my world of music, people used to connect because they had a common interest, and because of that connection, we used to achieve much more and profit much more. And today, even if we know that we achieve more, we no longer want to connect. So the question is also related to the previous topic. What is the condition to unite, connect today, and achieve something together, something one person cannot do by himself?
So you're saying we reach the state that even if musicians or whatever, artists at all, they know that together they'll gain more, they're still prefer to be alone and earn less. Probably the unity is really hard to attain.
So what is the condition in our days in order for us to succeed in doing it?
You need to give grace in that unity. Because really, we more and more become more and more egoists. We reject each other more and more. Everyone has to be as distant as he can from the other. You see, according to the environment today, people are willing, would rather work at home than go to work. And it's convenient, it's good for them and good for the boss. That's why people are more and more working at home than going to an office or places like that. We don't feel comfortable, nice sweetness in working together. I know once there used to be a term, I go out to work. I can't sit at home. We're talking about 30, 40, 50 years when women started going to the workforce. I remember that rumor. I don't want to sit at home. I want to go out to work. But what do you gain from this? I gain that I'm not sitting at home. I want an environment. I want a society. That's what the woman said. But today, women and men starting to have inclination to come back, but not an inclination to family. Back then, women wanted to like run away from the families, to feel that freedom a bit, to feel the society, to talk to people in the office and so on. Today, there's an inclination to start coming home. But at home, nothing's waiting. A lot are divorced and lonely. Man today, it's advancing. It's not returning. It's advancing in the levels of ego and becoming more and more lonely. What are you smiling, Chanuch? It's not true.
So again, if you can explain, what is the condition to advance today? Because there is a great loss here. I'm staying at home, I'm doing things alone, and I think that my alone is worthless. And only on the condition that I meet someone else, I will do it better. But when I meet someone, I'm prepared to wave up things, because it's better to do things together, no matter who it is, it can be better.
Wait, you're willing to unite to somebody or not?
It's hard for me. What is the condition?
It's hard for you. It has to feel good.
What do you mean feel good?
That you'll feel comfort in that. That it'll be interesting, something that draws you, or from the side of the art, or the person that you're connecting with, and you're talking. And
but my question, even if I don't feel good, I know it will come out better. So what can hold me in this unpleasantness in order to reach the goal?
That's already calculation, Arkady. Let's say I get $1 million if I'll be a month of shows with somebody.
And if we're talking about a spiritual goal?
It doesn't matter. So spirituality costs $1 million. So it doesn't matter what the goal is. I'm just saying it. I'm just saying the weight of that is $1 million for me. Is it worth it or not? So if that person is pleasant, it could be that I don't need that $1 million, but a month of spending time in his company, it's a great pleasure. It's worth $1 million for me. I'd rather not get anything. I would rather even pay, because you pay for pleasure. We don't see today in the connection between us, we don't see pleasure. That's the problem. And also, nobody wants to burden themselves. It's really difficult. The ego is so big that to be pleasant to the other, I have to put so many efforts in that. I have to break a lot of walls between us until he looks at me and sees that I'm not playing with him, and to see that I'm not some kind of weirdo and liar, and that I really want to, that I'm pleasant. That's the way I am. It's so hard for a person because he's already used to such relations in society. He has so many clothings already that he's used to speaking in content and speak how other people see how other people speak like that. There's such a disgusting slang like people work. And until two get rid of this and understand each other deeper, it's a lot of efforts. You need to put the efforts. So our desire to receive is a desire to receive. It's a desire to enjoy. It can be in the intention to receive and in the intention to bestow. And in according to that, it gets closer or distant. It decides the reward and the punishment, and that's how it works. So in the spiritual world, we get close to each other according to the similar intentions, because according to that, we reach unity, and in unity, we reach attainment. But in the corporate world, we enjoy using each other as much as the other swallows the other. And that's why in the corporate world, we get close according to the difference of form. And in the spiritual world, we get close according to the equivalence of form. And don't get confused. If we, in our world, don't do the calculation between us, but calculate with the third person, so I then do go according to equivalence with somebody, so we can be stronger together in front of the third guy. That's something else already. That's clear, right? It all depends. We always have to look at the goal. But that's the law. If not for the intention, so plus and minus will get close. Or north and south in the magnets. If it's according to the intentions, so it's according to the equivalence. Yes.
It's not clear.
I agree, it's not clear. You have to think about this more and more. I'm going to confuse you a bit more, and you'll think a bit more, and I'll confuse you a bit more, and then you think more, and then we'll reach it that you're going to start feeling. Don't tell me it's not clear, that it won't be clear until it won't be felt. First comes the feeling, then after the feeling comes the scrutiny and the mind, the intellect. There's a lot of things in here. I don't want to break into this. So, yeah.
It's like he explained before. It's like two peoples in the corporeal world. They love the same thing. I don't know. Let's say soccer. So they feel that they both like the same thing. Where is the third thing you were speaking about compared to the third thing?
I don't understand.
In the corporeal, you said that we connect only if there's a plus and minus.
That I can use the other. Yeah.
So if I like football and Eli like football, so how do we use each other? It's an equivalence of form. We both have the same thing, two people who like the same thing. It's like he said in two items earlier about the law of equivalence of form. I don't know how it works, if it's a plus and minus.
But it's in usage, and this is an equivalence in enjoyment. It's two opposite things exactly. How do plus and plus distance each other, and why do plus and minus get close? Because each one wants to swallow the other. From being opposite. Why? Because everybody sees in the other. He doesn't see what's similar. He sees what he's lacking in the other. If you enjoy speaking about your favorite soccer team with your friends, so you enjoy on the third part, not how to use each other, how to receive from one another. That's what I meant. Is the goal outside of you or in you? If it's according to your nature, or according to there's a third party that you're enjoying. I shouldn't have gone into this. No, we're not going to be able to get out of here. The simple things you can confuse everybody with. Yes, Olin.
He mentioned klipot here. What are klipot and where are they?
Klipa is called what a person discovers. Without man, there's nothing. Everything is towards man. Klipa is called something that stops me from getting close to the Creator, prevents me from getting close to the Creator, that I recognize is a disturbance. That's a klipa. What force can bother me, can disturb me? I want to enjoy myself. So every form of pleasure that draws me away from being similar to the Creator, all these pleasures are called klipot. Klipa is something very pleasant, very nice. Everything that prevents you from getting closer to unity, to be still.
Like what?
Let's say it's convenient for me to rest at home than coming to Yeshivat Chaverim. It's convenient for me to eat alone than eat with everybody together in the meal. If it's a real meal that everybody's together. It's convenient for me not to think about the whole world in correction, but whatever's going to happen to me in another month. It's pleasant to think about my children than my neighbor's children. It's little things. It's not really a klipa, but klipa is when somebody starts feeling that he exists in this process to getting closer to the Creator and attaining Him, that he already feels that He's making him content. He's about to make him content, and then he discovers, no, it's a more pleasant that something's pulling him aside. And that's already some kind of klipa. It grabs him in the clothes and pulls him back. Usually in the Torah, it's depicted as a prostitute, sort of a desire to receive.
Something else he writes here about wicked in their life, which are called dead. What does it mean?
The same desires, which are in order to receive, even though they're active and alive and they are in action, they are called dead, because in them they can't be, the light can't be clothed, the life. That's why they're called dead. It's desires. That's what we're talking about, not people. Klipot, evil, the righteous, no matter what. It's always desire. Oh, Coca-Cola. Every day, you're closer to the exit.
Never in my life.
And don't believe yourself.
I don't, but I believe in my friends. The will to receive always wants to swallow what is outside of him.
The desire to receive wants to swallow what's good for him. What's good for the desire itself, not to the kavanah, not to the intention.
The moment there's a change of intention, does he want to continue wanting to swallow?
I don't understand you.
Man's work is to work on changing his intention.
Kavanah, intention, means that I overcome above my desire and decide. I am using this desire like this and like that. I, according with my desire, I'm going to go and succeed. I press on myself. I go study. I go work. I am going to break the walls. I'm going to break the faces. I'm going to succeed. That is called intention in order to receive. A corporeal one. That's it. Now, it's a great burden. A lot of efforts to use my desire to receive to reach success. That is called to receive in order to receive. Corporeal. In spirituality, it's spiritual. Or in order to bestow. I put efforts and exertion in everything I can in order to reach the intention to bestow, that in my mind I'll only have bestow. I can receive in order to bestow. Okay, I can bestow in order to bestow. Okay, good, whatever. As long as I'm bestowing, I want to see everybody outside of me happy from my actions. That's it. For that, I need to feel their desires. What do they need? What do they want? And no, it doesn't matter. But I'm working in that direction. To see and feel them happy. Yes.
When it's an intention in order to receive, that's clear. You aim the desire in order to swallow. When the intention is in order to bestow, the expression of the desire will also be to swallow?
The expression of the desire is to spread. How can I say it? To spread out. To spread out on everybody. To not be. To feel them and not me. There's no I. I doesn't exist. No, nothing. No me. Yes.
I don't exist, so what does exist? Still, we need the intention to clothe on something. What does it clothe on?
Soul. Outside of me, everything that exists is my soul. I feel outside of my body. Okay, yes, let's move on. Okay, let's Victor. Victor, he's just suffering from...
What you just told Akoka, the sorting out of the klipot, this is where our work is.
Are you asking or are you saying?
There are the offerings of the dead. What am I asking?
What is offerings of the dead, Niv? What are dead, do you know? Right, the evils in their life, right? And what are the offerings of the dead? What is the offerings? The sacrifices.
Sacrifices.
Yeah. So, yeah, but the desire to receive that you raise, when you raise it to this height that it becomes sacred, that is called the offerings of the dead. When you build Kodesh Kodeshim, the Tower of Babylon, I don't want to call it in names the way they were called or if they're called today, but all kinds of those expressions, that sanctity of the klipa.
So my question is, this sacrifice, this offering, in order to reach sanctity with it, is revealed as the same creator, the same light, the same soul which brings that offering. Eventually, I have to agree to see it in me.
Oh, no, no. Why can't you ask a question? One sentence.
Okay. This is where the place of work is. This is the place of the zivug.
That's the place of work. Right. I ask you. I might let you ask one time ever, only if you ask. No philosophy. Yes.
Rav, there's this confusion here. I feel it for a long time. On the one hand, we're saying that there is a soul which is outside of me. And yesterday, for example, you explained to us how important it is to feel the taste in me, the will to receive inside of me. It's very inconclusive. This is in me, in my senses. Can you solve that problem?
I can't solve any of your problems.
No, not to solve, but...
The confusion, you see how today I started opening this subject about the Kavanah and the two, and if it's the third one, and if it's together with the desire to receive, and if it's together with the Kavanah, and already everybody's confused. Until we don't acquire the intention above the desire, that we know what it is, that we exit our desire and work out of the intention, we don't know anything. Working outside the Kavanah is called restricting the desire. Desire to receive, in order to be received, I also need to be in a tzimtzum or restriction to know what that is. I decide in something that doesn't depend on the desire at all, that I decide to work with it in order to receive. And can you do it in order to bestow? I can. So why not? I don't want to. I decided in order to receive. You hear what I'm saying? That's why it's a klipa. If I have no choice, I have no choice. So I'm forced. I'm forced, so it's not on my account. Like he said, that the ones that are forced are, well, what can you demand from them? Meaning, receiving in order to receive, it's a klipa that goes all the way during the whole ascending, it's there, all the way to Gmar Tikkun. And there's always a decision, a very hard decision. Should I receive or should I bestow? Why am, why no? It's its work with the lights and vessels of the desire to receive in order to receive. It's not just that I feel like it, what am I going to receive, these little pleasures of this world. No. It's decisions that are very, very high. That I begin feeling that there's the king that is in order to receive. That it's the backside of the Creator that seems is full control, and it has to be like that, and I decide. It's not just seems like we are klipot, and you can decide between the two only on the condition that you are above the restriction, that you don't depend on anybody. Then there's a decision, and you decide, I am going in order to receive. Then you're a klipa. Think about this a bit. We haven't talked about this, and I'm not going to talk about this right now, but think about it a bit. Yes.
Rav, I'm a simple man. Everything you're talking about, you and Victor, I understand nothing about it.
Yeah, right. What does the Creator want from me? I'm simple. Let me enjoy myself from the simple things, and that's it.
I have a simple question.
But everything he has there, let him save it for me.
I have a simple question for you. The first revelation of spirituality, where is it? It's in the center of the group, somewhere in me. Where is it revealed? Where do I feel it?
That I can tell you, for sure and positive, the first attaining is outside of you, when you see the friends and all of humanity and the entire world, outside of you. That is where you feel the Creator, all the creations, all the world, the field that was blessed by God, and all your inclinations from you and outward.
In which senses do I feel it? I have five senses for the moment.
No, you don't feel in those five senses. You feel it in a sense that is called the beginning of your soul. A reshimo that is going to into ibul, into conception, that is going to nullify itself, give up on itself more and more, in order to be integrated in the forces of bestowal that will treat him and take care of him. And he will do it with understanding and with feeling way stronger than any feeling that man has in this world. And it will be called a fetus. Yes.
Once you mentioned that the first feeling of spirituality, it's something like something warm, feeling of confidence, of this honey between the friends.
It's really like that. It's a very, very pleasant feeling. And especially because of that, you have to do even a greater work there, to more precise work, and because it draws you, it feels good, it's good, it's sweet, it's like honey, yes. And then, upon that, you have to start scrutinizing. Upon blows, it's easier to scrutinize than above the pleasure. Because the blows awaken you, they focus your mind and heart. You are in a state of, you're under pressure. But when you're in pleasures, it's very hard. That's the klipa. Klipa doesn't bring you blows. The klipa brings pleasures.
Rav, I'm not talking about what happens before and after. I'm talking about this exact point where spirituality is revealed. This is what I'm talking about. So you described it as something warm. And what we said before, where do I feel that? This warm feeling on my skin, where?
You feel all these phenomena outside of you as if they are spread on over the entire world. Ask again, I'll answer you again in the same words. Because I have nothing else to say. But I do have patience. Here, the grandfather's coming now.
Rav, what is the difference between a person who is going across the barrier as in inside the klipot? I understand this is what the situation is. To what we say that he who knows all mystery will testify that he will not return to his foolishness again.
The klipot are above the machsom. Below the machsom, there aren't any klipot.
But isn't it similar? Let's say if a person enters the klipot, he doesn't return to his folly again?
No. Klipot are forces that advance man towards the goal very much. But they awaken him in a certain way that he has to, with overcoming them, he has to rise just like he's climbing a mountain in order to reach the king's palace. So every time he climbs, he needs to rise on something. And that rising above is rising above the klipot. The klipot are all the material of creation, all the desire to receive that he has received. The form of in order to receive and is revealed. That's a klipa. We can't take a step forward if we don't connect the klipa. Not that we do it on our own, but you always have to go on the right line, towards the right. But the klipot are, they will always come when they're supposed to come and in the form that they're supposed to come. Yes, let my student.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning.
So the klipot, what can help a person to come out from the klipot into bestowal?
The Rabbi and the group and the study. And a bit of dissemination. Yes, Eli.
So on Thursday we have a great dissemination event and people wanted to ask me from the side of preparation.
This Thursday? What, again a singles night?
A workshop for the ladies from the broad audience.
A woman's workshop in all of our centers in Israel?
Yeah.
Also in the world?
No, just in Israel.
Okay, only in Israel. Oh, it's the International Women's Day, so why isn't it an international event? Okay, let him take an example. So what are they going to do in this Women's Day?
They're going to have a workshop in all the Arvut houses on Thursday evening.
Thursday?
8 p.m. It starts at 8 p.m.
So 8 p.m. in all our centers. Is this going to be on the TV channel?
We'll have a special program in our channel.
I can't hear you. Who are you talking to?
I'm saying on our channel we're going to have a special program at 8, which won't be broadcasted from the centers, but it's going to be a special women's workshop with special professions, and they're going to talk about the role of the women in the modern world.
Great. And your question is?
The question is about preparation. Women are conducting this event, and many participate in the preparation. They are in charge of the contents as well.
Well, I was at the women's convention. It's such a force that, it's good that I was there only on the stage. It was such a strong, great power, yeah, and? What's the subject itself? Just to celebrate the Women's Day, or is there some kind of content?
Of course there is a content. The topic of the evening, well, its main message is the influence of the environment as a major factor.
The influence of the women's environment on women, or general environment?
The influence of the general environment, how it confuses women, how to use it correctly in order to life in order. This is the general topic of this event.
That's very good. And who's passing it on?
Our women. They're hosting the event. So this is exactly the question, if I may.
Yeah.
What they want to ask is, it turns out that all of a sudden every woman has not just ideas, rather they have their own unique way, questions, additions.
And that I'm sure, in every day.
And it becomes very hard to contradict the preparation, and the women who prepare other hosts, it becomes something very hard. All of a sudden, everyone has its own opinion, own idea, and it doesn't end. So they wanted to ask about it and to clarify how can we unite the lines together.
First of all, we are cleaning away all their questions that don't belong to getting the goal. Just slice them off and throw them out to the dogs. That's the first thing. Second, whatever has to do with attaining the goal, if they are in some kind of... I'd say this. What is necessary today? That is what we need to speak about. What am I as a woman, what do I need in order to advance from here and on? You know, in a racing car, in the slalom, how do you say it? In the racing track, and ski, and whatever. Also in, how do you call it? When you sit inside that barrel, the bobsled. Yeah, bobsled. Yeah. The bobsled. In all these things, if you race these things, you don't see anything more than a meter or two in front of you. And that's the important thing. If you look way ahead, you won't succeed. You're going to get confused. You really have to see only something very, very close and concrete. Whatever comes later doesn't matter. Because you can't navigate yourself to long distance. Whatever is 100 meters from you, it's not your business. Maybe 10 meters in front of you, even less. It depends on what vessel you're, what sled you're on. Same thing here. We have to see what's necessary today, alone, in order to attain the goal one step ahead. And according to that, you choose the content and see. It can be a lot of things. But according to that, concrete, to the dealings of the day. Yes, Shimon.
Rav, after yesterday morning, there is a great awakening about the preparation for the European Convention, and there was a question yesterday, how do we turn into a world convention? How do we awaken the whole world clean to this convention?
If it's going to be a European Congress, it's going to be European Congress. But if it won't be a really strong European Congress, that people coming from all the countries, I'm not broadcasting from there. We're going to film it so it can be in our archive, but we're going to make it closed only with the people that will come, and that's it. Whoever puts efforts and comes, he's with us. We're going to sit there with the group, that it's a few hundred people, and we're going to have a convention. I'm serious. It's not, it can't be, because the people that aren't coming, and they can come, I'm talking from Europe themselves, I'm not saying people have to fly from Australia, but the Europeans, let's say the people, the European market, right? From Russia to France there, if they don't come, the people that are with us, I don't feel that they're students. And it's not worth it. Better that they sit at home, if already they want to sit, and be sorry that they're not there virtually, then watch the Congress and feel, I'm part of this, I have everything. For their spiritual advancement, it's better to sit there if they don't come, to sit there without the broadcast.
I know about buses that are coming from England and the Netherlands.
They already left? Good. I said, it's better to come on foot. Let him walk until he reaches from England to Frankfurt. Should be exactly the right time. Yes, Chanuch.
Now, about that, I don't know who has to take care of it, but I know from conversations I had with my friends, our friends in Europe have very
let him organize,
bad economical problems.
Let him get a pool of money together and say maybe for this person is missing 10,000, this is 10,000 euros, 20,000. When it's something organized, you can start speaking with something. Right now, there's a few single people who have nothing and they scream and they don't know who else to scream to. If they organize together and they say they can't, then we'll deal with it. Yes, Shimon.
We want to encourage friends from Israel who can go to the Congress to join them, to go there.
Friends from Israel? I don't know. It depends how many. I don't know. I don't have an opinion because Europe is something very sensitive, very delicate. It's if it's really Europeans, it's not worth it to come from Israel, that they'll be among the Europeans, that we won't lessen their numbers, dilute the numbers. But if it's not really Europeans, and some of this and some of that, so they can come. But I'm really for it, that there'll be Europeans from Europe, and they'll unite and connect between them, that there'll be a center of unity, and from there on, they can continue rising.
In addition, we would like to mention that tonight we have a workshop, as usual.
Yeah, and today there's a workshop as usual. The people are invited. The subject we will receive from Mr. Yaniv during the day, something. If not, I'll take the same introduction to Zohar and slam it down. Okay? And have a good day. And we're getting close to the Women's Day, right? Everybody, flowers, cakes, smiles, and tell her you love her, and you support her, and you are concerned about her. Okay? Good. Niv, right?
Yes. Okay, so we have the Women's Workshop towards the International Women's Day. We invite you to a fascinating women's workshop next Thursday, 8 p.m., all over Israel. Invite your women girlfriends. Admission is free. Details at 1-700-5929. Thank you and have a lovely, lovely day.
Towards a goal I run, no time for rest. My journey's just begun, it's all uphill. No finish line in sight, I'm low on fuel. And I can't see the light, I stop and pray. For the strength to go on, my mind says stop. But my heart is strong, suddenly he is by my side. This love I can't explain, and all I want is for him to attend. Yes, I can. It is the only way. Yes, I can. Let's turn this night into day. Yes, I can. I'm not turning back. Yes, It is the only way.